Monday at 6:04, Winfrey and Terry Brown in Sedona, and this is our Monday night teleconference internet simulcast, where we talk to beings in other dimensions, and they give us great wise advice. Sometimes people have miracles. So thank you for coming in, and if you're listening for the first time, consider it an adventure. Don't believe anything. And Terry, are you there?
I'm here.
Now, my co-host is a being from another dimension who happens to have a body.
I think everybody is.
You're very low volume, Terry. Can you put your mic nearer?
Okay. Can you hear me better now?
Can you
hear me better now?
Still a little bit low. I think, Don, if you're listening, could you turn up Terry, please? Hello, Don?
Can you turn up the volume?
I have done so.
Okay. Great. Very good.
Okay. Thank you, Don.
Okay.
That's Don Newsom, the founder of BBS Radio, the illustrious founder. And do you know what we're talking about tonight, Terry?
No, I have no idea.
I just want you to know, we don't rehearse these shows, of course. if we did, they'd fire us.
Right. I'd be a nervous wreck before the show.
That's right. And if I always tell Terry, are you ready? She always tells me, no. But
all callers are muted and they can unmute themselves. All callers are muted. All callers are unmuted.
The topic tonight, which some of you saw on the last minute as I sent it out, was... why is connecting with the Elohim like riding a bicycle? And it relates to this. I put a link up on the mailing to the website I'm working on. And, it's been my challenge. How do you put this up into the world? How do you start with people? This has been like a 10-year challenge because... one way or another, you all found us, and you found us because something was somewhere, but it's usually like when you click on the link, you're not finding what you were looking for. In other words, you might have been looking for the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. You might have been looking for God knows what, and somehow something kept your curiosity. And you started paying attention, and something resonated, and you kept coming back. Now, given that that's the way it occurs, it's always a challenge of how do you present this to people? How do you ramp people up? So I've been working on this project of taking little excerpts from some of our, we call them channelings, transmissions, messages, and putting them on a scrolling text line on a video with Daphne's music. You may not know this, but Daphne, are you on the line?
I am.
You are. Oh, well, do you mind if I talk about you?
Well, depends what you say.
I'm used to talking about you when you're not listening, and then you come back and yell at me. You shouldn't have said that. How come you said that? So now I have to watch my P's and Q's, okay? Are you there?
I am.
Is there anything you want to correct about how I've ever talked about you from the beginning of time?
He doesn't know where to start.
Let's see, is anything you want to have corrected? Well, I'm not sure exactly what you said.
Well, you could have said you could have been a better dishwasher.
Oh, okay. Well, you're putting me in an awkward position. I'm not sure. I mean, right off the cuff, I'm not sure.
Okay, I'll tell you.
Email him the list tomorrow, Daphne.
Okay.
That's my Ed McMahon right there, okay? Do you remember Ed McMahon?
I do.
You do?
Yes,
Johnny
Carson.
Right. He was Johnny's straight man.
He was a straight man, right. So, Hyde is my straight man coming in. And, well,
uh-huh.
I'll tell you what. We can make a list up, all right? And at some future time, I'm going to have you share the list with everybody. You shouldn't have said this. You shouldn't have done that. And you could have said this better. And just so we get it right. And that way, all this time I've been talking about you behind your back, you can fix, rectify.
But the thing of it is, if you've been talking about her behind her back, she doesn't know what you said, so how can she say what was and what wasn't?
Because she's psychic.
Nobody say anything.
Nobody say anything.
Nobody speaks to us.
She feels the energy. I don't know. You know what? Even if she's not, it's not a, listen, this will never be a perfect exercise. And the reason is, she doesn't know exactly what I said. And even if she rectifies it, the people I said it to are not going to hear it. It's going to be the people on the line now.
Get back.
Huh?
Get back.
Do I hear somebody saying get back?
He wants to be alone.
Hang on.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
All right. I muted everybody. Daphne, you want to push star 6. If you want.
Okay, I've unmuted myself.
All right. So now we don't have to have funny background noises. I should clarify. Okay, now I'll tell you what. I'll clarify this. And as I clarify it, every time I say something that you don't like, say, wait a second. Could you say it this way? Okay?
Okay. I mean, are we doing like an impromptu radio show for everyone's entertainment? Is that the upshot of this? I'm not quite sure.
Well, you know, we started this by saying we don't know what's going to happen. So that's how it started. And so for all of you that don't know, and maybe you're listening for the first time, in the year 2002, in April, I met Daphne. And okay, now I'm going to say we were a, and I'm going to stop, and you fill in the blank.
We were a blank, blank. I don't know. What were we?
Okay, we were a what were we? And we were driving together, and we were going to.
We were on a road trip. We were driving. We were on I-5 in Northern California.
Yeah, right.
In the vicinity of Mount Shasta.
And it was pouring rain. It was pouring rain.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we were going to get a motel. I remember. I don't know if I should have said that. Okay. We were going to stop, but it was. I don't think we decided we couldn't afford it. So we kept driving. And I said, let's do a prayer of protection.
Let's back up, Wynn. I don't think afford it, not afford it. I don't think any of that was part of the. I don't think any of that was part of the particular. particular...
Okay, cancel that out. Cancel that out.
It was raining, and it was very mountainous, and it was not great driving conditions. So.
And I said, let's do a prayer of protection, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I did a prayer of protection, and I remember very specifically as I looked at the sunroof of the car and said, does anybody want to talk to me? And I said it like a joke. I was in the middle of writing the book about David Wilcock, and Daphne, do you remember what happened then?
That's when the initial channeled messages started coming through.
Mm-hmm. I really didn't know that at the time. Daphne started talking, and she said something like, we're here, and do you have questions? And I thought she was kidding. And I don't remember what I asked. I probably said, well, who are you? Or something like that. And then after a few minutes, now, I usually say this wrong. I say, she said, that's the strangest thing that ever happened to me. But you always say that's not exactly what you said. Do you remember what you said?
It actually isn't the strangest thing that's ever happened, because maybe we should give a little bit of background about my experiences with this.
There we go. Go ahead.
Okay. All right. Here we go. Let's see. From the time I was about 5 years old, I seemingly have been able to access these frequencies, these voices, this interdimensional knowledge, and I thought it was kind of a normal thing. I thought that most people could do this. And it wasn't until I think I was a teenager that I pieced it together that maybe everyone didn't necessarily have conscious access to this material. I do believe everyone does have access to it at some level, but it's not necessarily conscious for everybody. I could start there. Right.
So you had little voices talking to you in your head, right?
Well, it wasn't so much little voices talking to me in my head. It was that I seemed to have access to very almost scientific ways of it was like an intergalactic library of sorts, or maybe the Akashic Records. I seemed to be able to focus on a question that I would have, and the information would just download. It would just be there. It would be this consecutive kind of aha moment, like aha, aha, aha.
And how old were you? How old were you when you were doing this?
I think the earliest that I specifically remember was about 5.
So you would have a question. When is Daddy coming home? And you'd get an answer.
Pretty much. Yep. Pretty much.
But no one around knew. Your parents didn't know.
Yeah, I could focus on something or someone, and I would become conscious of either where they were going or where they'd been, or events that were about to happen. I had precognitive dreams, still do. I guess I was slipping in and out of time space from, relatively early age. I've never been able to control it.
But you couldn't possibly understand it in that language when you were young. How did you understand it to yourself?
I'm sorry, can you repeat your question?
You couldn't have possibly said when you were 6 years old, oh, here I am slipping out of time and space again. How did your little mind relate to it?
Well, that's kind of a hard one, too. First of all, when a person is 6 years old, they're 6 years old in this envelope, you know, where supposedly these beings of infinite consciousness, and we have existed forever and will continue to exist forever, so at some level, we can access all that is. So you're not necessarily limited by a six-year-old consciousness. I mean, you know, how did Chopin play the piano like he did at 6 years old? look at the virtuoso, you know, of the world. You know, they're accessing, you know, mind-blowing abilities, you know, just listening to Pat Metheny, arguably the most influential jazz guitarist on the planet. I mean, he was a virtuoso from a very young age. So I don't think age has too much to do with it, Lynn.
Okay. Well, we have this theory that people had other lifetimes, and they all had developed talents or abilities. And when we come into this lifetime, we have the potential to access those abilities. So you, and we know this is true, if all our stories are true, you had other lifetimes, maybe many, many, where you accessed this ability. But, of course, you don't remember them. But you end up with the ability in this lifetime. And as did Terry. And are you on the line, Terry? Hello, Terry?
Yeah, I'm on the line. I'm muted.
So when you were young, did you have anybody talking to you?
Well, I did a lot of talking to, I just did a lot of talking to the universe.
How old were you?
Five, six, seven.
Five.
Yeah.
And so, for those that may be listening for the first time, this is a fairly rare kind of conversation, because both of these women ended up talking to me with these voices from other realms. And I had to figure out what it meant, what the meaning of it was. And, of course, I have a fairly inquisitive mind. And at one point I was a physics major. And I said, well, what a good opportunity to ask questions and see who these guys are and how they talk to us. And if you stay on the line and through this call, and Daphne and Terry both want to do this, because this, as I said, this is unrehearsed. I didn't know I was going to be talking to Daphne and talking about this. We may ask them some questions right here and in front of all of you. And it's very unusual to be doing something like this in such a public way. But talking about the background of it helps to ground the energy. You know, sometimes I get emails from people and they say, Lynn, why do you talk so much? Why don't you just get right to talking to them? Well, what I learned through all of my conversations with these voices is, initially, I said, this is interesting. I'm talking to some kind of intelligence from somewhere else, and they know a lot of stuff, and they know a lot about how things work in the universe. And so I started asking them questions, and I was getting information, masses of information. And the way it started with Daphne was, we were driving around all over Southern California, and we were going to these little shows And that's what I was doing to make money at the time, selling things. And in the midst of it, in the strangest times, she would say, "Those guys want to talk to you again." And sometimes I would say, "Could we have a conversation?" And we did an early form of calling in the light, and I was in an exploratory stage because I had done enough reading about the idea of channeling, and I had been reading Carla Ruckert's material. And it said, she said, or the Ra group who was speaking through her, hang on, I need the tunes.
Entry and exit chimes are off.
The Ra group that was speaking through her said that just because there's a voice from another dimension doesn't mean it's positive. And oftentimes what we would call negative voices or service-to-self voices can talk through people, and they will mimic the positive. So I was writing this book about David Wilcock, and I had come to the conclusion that at least many of his communications were positive. I'm not sure that all were, but I was studying his communications, and just on the basis of the wisdom that was in them, and if you haven't read The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, highly recommend it. Just on the basis of the wisdom, it just rang true. It was like you didn't have to worry about whether it was positive or negative, at least the stuff that I chose to put in the book, because it was so wise and such a huge view of life and the counsel, the advice they were giving to people in their messages was so profound that I said, what I'm including in this book is positive. Now, I say what I'm including because even they said to David that both Edgar Cayce and David Wilcock had negative sources talking to them at different times. And so that put me on guard not to assume anything that David had in terms of a channeling was positive. And that's why I tell everybody all the time on the work that we do to always scrutinize it. I don't think we've had negative stuff come through on these calls. But there's always the potential. So the thing that I began to learn in these communications and in my experience, and I didn't learn this because they told me, and I had one specific experience where I gave a talk in San Diego, and there was this huge energy in the room, and I could see the energy. And this was in 2004, and people left the room, and they lined up to purchase books, and Terry was sitting at the table, and they were saying things to Terry, like, I could see the auras in the room. I could see light. That must be what people mean when they talk about light. Now, I was saying,
they were so excited when they ran out of, they were running out of the room to get first in line to buy the books and things. And they were so excited.
Yeah. Terry, keep your mic closer to your mouth because you're getting soft again.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you. And so this was a whole new thing because, well, I didn't know what to make of this energy at first, but then I did a session with Terry, and I said, could you explain that energy that was in the room? And they said they could. And they said it was them. And the way I recall, this is a paraphrase, that they were projecting themselves, their energy, into the room. And they were helping me. And I said, oh, my God. this is an entirely new take on this. It's not just information. This is some source out there that can project energy into the room. And they said they were a group soul. They were at the beginning of creation, at the beginning of time. They were outside of the physical universe, and they created the physical universe, and they had the ability to project energy into the physical universe. Now, I'm going to, let me see, is there anything you want to say, Daphne? I want to make sure you say everything that your mind
This is interesting. I remember this gathering really well. It was at the Scottish Rite Temple on Route 8 in San Diego, and it was 2004. And I remember my experience during those 2 or 3 days, feeling extremely ungrounded, feeling very, very nauseous, feeling very, very dizzy, having a really hard time just being in the physical body. So it's interesting that that is the onset point, which you remember as the Elohim Ra group saying that they were projecting their energy, across the time-space continuum and into the physical Earth plane.
Now, I'm not sure the time that you were there was the first time. That might have been the second time I did that talk in San Diego. But the same thing would happen. But, Terry, was Daphne there the first time we were there?
When Daphne wasn't here. She wasn't there.
Yeah, I don't think she was there. So this first experience happened when you weren't there. So I'm going to read to you. This is that video I told everyone to look at. I thought this was extraordinary. And the topic tonight is, how do you connect with these guys? How do you make them connect with you? And they gave an answer, and they were talking about how it feels to be them. And it ended up going into how to connect. And I'm going to read their answer. This is up on that intelligent-infinity.net website, and it's one of the videos. And to me, every time I read this, every time I watch that video, I start to feel a connection with them just because I'm watching. Because they've said at other times that they're in the words. So, and it doesn't matter if you read them or you hear an audio or they're talking live. So, we are so delighted that you asked that question, because we were thinking during the preamble of telling you some of those answers, but we decided to wait until you asked the question. By the way, this particular session happened live, I believe, on one of our Monday or Wednesday night phone calls. This was not in the early stages. This was in the last year and a half. In our world, we do not speak English. We speak in mathematics, mathematical equations, and relationships in terms of very easy back-and-forth communications. In other words, let's say that we are working with one of our divisions, which is creating focusing mechanisms, and I have in parenthesis, a focusing mechanism is you and I. They had said that earlier. Life is a focusing mechanism where the light of the universe is contracted into a organism, a being, or maybe even a planet. The Earth could be called the focusing mechanism. So a focusing mechanism, or the loose connection of concepts that fit then into the interlocking geometries that make up a focusing mechanism. Okay, now what are they saying there? They're saying that we, you and I, are not just physical bodies. We are interlocking geometries. That means the part of us that's in other dimensions. Each of us starts in other dimensions, and through a network of frequency interactions, energy interactions, geometrical interactions, our bodies exist, and our consciousness exists. Let's say that the flow is not working to the focusing mechanism. Quite right, that's you and I. We could communicate in terms of mathematics and love to that individual, and our thoughts would be relayed from energy to energy without language, such as you know language. Our thoughts would be revealed in two ways. One would be in the adjustment of the mathematics and the connections and the relaying to the area in your realm where the mathematics was not quite right. Okay, let me put that in a different way, as I understand it. They're saying when we're screwed up, when we're out of balance, when we everything that in us that's not quite right is a function of these interlocking geometries, and that they have the ability to repair the geometries so that we come into better balance. Now, I should say that's a big statement, and that we've learned, first of all, when they do that, there's a lot of things that have to be right to allow them to do that. Like, for example, some people are in a process of learning something from their out of balances. And if they're in that process of needing to learn a lesson, then they won't do anything until the lesson is learned. Number two, they don't intrude. So they don't just go saying, we're going to fix this person, we're going to fix that person. There has to be a certain asking of the person and an understanding of the process to allow this to occur. But they have the ability to do it. And that's why sometimes people have a miracle to come into this line, because we're introducing them, we're introducing their energy, we're introducing the potential to make a request which starts to line up the requirements so they can do something, so they can help. And I should also say, one of the reasons that people get their geometry screwed up, I'm using their terminology, is because you cannot be in this realm without that occurring. This realm is under the auspices and control of a lot of negative forces. And it's not your fault. You end up in the wrong place in the wrong time. You make the wrong decision. And before you know it, you've been brainwashed. You've been hypnotized. You've been abused. You've been traumatized. And your geometry, you end up with a screwed up matrix. And it's not your fault. You're not dead. It's a function of being in this realm. But the idea is, how do you make it right? How do you fix it? Well, most people don't even know they're screwed up. I remember when I was young, I was really screwed up. And I thought that's how it felt. That's what everyone felt like. And when you live in a certain set of circumstances through your life, and you feel a certain way, you think that's you. You don't even know you could be something other than that, or that it could shift, or that it could feel different to be you, and that it could feel cleaner and clearer.
If I could just say one thing, in my experience, and this has actually come through my meditation, there is one antidote to this feeling of oppression down here in the physical realm. And that feeling is when a person can connect with their, we talked about this earlier today, their center point, their still point, their I am point, if you will, and move into their own authentic zone. And that is where the world's greatest artists and creative people are able to pretty much remain. And when one can be in that place, you basically become creation. You are no longer at the effect of the created world and circumstance outside of yourself. You become the nexus point of God source and music, art, poetry, photography, dance, you know, whatever it is flows through you and you become the conduit.
And but you know what? I don't think you have to be a creative artist for that to occur. I think everyone.
Oh, No. What I'm saying is that when anyone doesn't matter who you are, because every single human being on the planet has that point inside of themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's
an artist in their own life.
Exactly.
Okay,
exactly.
Everyone has the potential to move into that place in their own life and live their life. They don't have to be a great virtuoso piano player. They can just be a great friend, a great mother, a great employee, and they can lift the vibration of the places around them. And it's not an ego trip. It's a very humble thing to be in the center of yourself. Because when you go into the center of yourself, you help everyone else go into the center of their self. They have to move into the center of their self. And so it becomes a shared experience. Now, let me go back to this thing I'm reading here. And they were just talking about helping to fix a matrix, okay? Now, let's imagine while we're reading this, they're working with all of us, those of you that would ask, and they're helping to fix our matrix, helping to fix the energy on this call. And I think that happens all the time, and it's like people keep coming back to the call. The Elohim group working on this project would immediately understand the equations that would need changes in the interlocking geometries that would then be fixed and the energy systems repaired that would have eventually become a repaired individual soul who had become damaged. For example, in some kind of explosion within the third density, whose matrix had become torn and misaligned. And let me keep going here. I'm waiting for this thing to scroll a little more. Hang on. Here it goes. We have higher frequency groups that can send energy that appears in colors. As if one was putting a paintbrush over a scene, it would wash the scene, for example, in light pink and would convey similarly to a smile in third density. But rather than a visual appearance of a smile, it would convey the friendship and warmth of one of our energy units. An energy unit would be an individualized Elohim, would feel for another. Do we get tired? Well, one of the reasons for tiredness is the interaction between interlocking geometries that creates some friction and then needs some time for repair. So if an Elohim is working on that particular energy unit, a subgroup working as a team, and working on a project that has not been going totally smooth, we start to experience frustration and the fold down, slowing down of time. Now remember, they're outside of time. They say they created the universe. They say they're available to work with anyone down here that would want that kind of connection and that kind of help in the repair of their own geometries. And when they do it and they experience frustration when there's friction, and it doesn't go well, or it doesn't go fast. And so for them, their time slows down. In other words, most of the time, they don't have time, or they have very fast time compared to us. But then they can experience frustration where it slows down. Time goes much more quickly when we are working with the energy units in our realm. We do have a matrix that can extend even into your realm. And when that matrix is working on a project that is becoming frustrated, it can misalign our local matrix as we track with the frustrating matrix, and eventually we become in need of repair of our matrix. We need to take a break and a rest and to repair our matrix. We do not think of it so much as sleep as you do in the third density, because when you sleep, you repair not only the physical body, but the mental body and the emotional body. Now, remember, we're talking to Ra'an, which is a combination of the Elohim and the Ra group. Now they're talking about sleep and dreams, and they interject, this is an area where the Ra group can help and works with people while they are sleeping in their dreams. They can send dreams to the individual and help to heal emotional issues. For instance, at this time, and if we're, now the Ra group is talking, we, the Ra group, are sending dreams to the channeling entity, who is Terry, concerning mistakes, as there has been a tendency for the channeling entity to want to be perfect. Terry, is that true?
Yes.
Do you want to be perfect?
Yeah. Well, I try. And I don't make it. But I'm learning to be able to forgive myself when I make mistakes.
Okay. Keep your mic close to your mouth, okay? Because you're getting low. Okay. In the dreams that the Ra group are sending to this entity, there are opportunities to make mistakes and corrections and be totally loved during the whole process. This is a teaching kind of a dream that we, the Ra group, can send to one in the third density. Now, I would like to make an aside to that one. All of us are around other people, and in our ability to let people go through their changes and their issues and keep sending them love, if we can do that, we allow them to change and grow. Just as the Ra group was explaining, they did that in the dream to Terry. Or dreams. It is delightful to live in our density, and as we look at the process of translating from our realm to yours, we think in mathematical terms, and therefore everything is very fast and in total telepathy and love. Now we're coming up to the next little break here. It's coming up here. When we look at your realm, or one of your questions, and begin to form an understanding of the questions, we begin to draw upon our knowledge and the knowledge of all that is to bring in examples. Okay, now we talk to them all the time. And they draw on their knowledge and the knowledge of all there is and bring in examples. Or to remote view areas. Now that means remote viewing is usually a term for humans who have the ability to telepathically tune into another area and see it. And it's a fairly standard technique. And even the government, in fact, the government may have even have done a lot of encouragement to develop those techniques for intelligence operations. And so they're explaining that they can do that. They can remote view areas and translate a concept that can help harmonize the problem of an area that the individual is questioning about. A large part of the job still ends up with the human's responsibility for the correction. We can point things out. that a human may not be able to see directly. The first requirement is for a person to ask, because then we know they are in alignment with the process and they are giving us permission to help with the change and a solution. If they do not ask, then we often will watch that individual moving in a remote automatic way, working through their issues on the lower third density plane, and that is fine. But when we look at the possibility of manifestations that could make more harmony within that individual's life, then we can comment on that. It is up to the individual and his own effort, willpower, and intention to be able to bring about the change. Much like the chain on the bicycle, where the person does the pedaling, and then there is the translation into the movement along the path of the wheels. Now, I thought that was a very profound image. And the way that I understood that, and I want to say it so that you folks can internalize that, because that is a key to this thing, a key to the connection to these higher sources. You have to start turning the pedals. What is a bicycle? It's got these little pedals that go to your legs, and then it's translated through the chain, through gears, to a motion on the rear wheel. So as opposed to walking somewhere, you can get there maybe 10 times faster riding a bicycle, because you have all this added energy coming in from the rear wheels. And right now, we are bringing in that energy. You see, just because we're not walking, we're not riding a bicycle on this call, but we are have a motion, a movement, spontaneity. We have three gifted people, two gifted people, and one human, me, who's just keeping the motion going. And as we keep that motion going, we can feel the energies shift. And all the time on these calls, that happens. And it's always amazing and even a surprise. But it's now become an expected surprise, because I know that I've learned, no matter where we start at the beginning of the call, at some point on the call, almost every call, there's a shift, and that energy comes in. And we can feel how we have opened up the geometries, and they've done whatever they do, so that the space becomes refined. Can you guys feel it? I think you can. Some of you can. And I don't know if BBS has another show on tonight or not. Don, are you listening? Probably not. Don? Hello, Don. You know, we're supposed to be off in 3 minutes, and...
We did not have a show after tonight.
Oh, we don't. Okay. Thank you, Seth, for letting me know. Okay. So, on that note, you know, we have a really interesting topic here, and, you know, where we just have this... the explanation from this group Soul Energy talking about how they come in, how they repair matrices, and they end up with that image of pedaling a bicycle. And by the way, remember, intelligent-infinity.net, intelligent-infinity.net, you can go there, and we have about 20 of these videos. Every one of them is profound. They're not meant to be read fast. Some of them, they may scroll too fast, and we're going to have to fix them, because the level of understanding and communication on these is so high that you have to let your consciousness assimilate it. But you can use them like meditations. And if you felt a transition while I read that, then you can, that's on that page. You can go read it anytime. And in the background is Daphne playing harp. And at one point in one of the sessions, they said, when she plays music, she brings in these higher frequencies in the way she plays music. And if you note, this is something to observe. When she is putting her music together on that harp piece, you'll notice it always has these very unexpected changes. And it keeps you on your toes. You'll be listening, and then suddenly you think, going, and suddenly it goes somewhere else. And it's always a repetitive pattern. And so when you listen to the music and you read the words simultaneously, and the words as they came through Terry on that particular piece, you get a chance to move into the energy, as we did when we did that. And are you there, Daphne?
I am here, yes.
Are you in a quiet place?
I am.
Would you like to bring through anything they'd like to say about the topic that we're talking about tonight?
I can give it a try.
Okay. Now, remember, this is unrehearsed, so... I mean, she may say, oh, I can't come up with anything. We don't usually do this with Daphne. We do it with Terry. Terry, is it okay if Daphne does this?
Yeah, that's great.
Okay. So we'll do our calling in of the light. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect Daphne, Terry, myself, and everyone on this line. And any negativity be taken to the higher realms of light, the highest realms of light, and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. And we see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe, through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy fields of Earth, through our bodies and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. And we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us. And we create a protected space that only the positive has access to. And anything not of that nature must leave now, and we are going to request that through Daphne, they would like to make any further understandings on the topic of that channeling that I read through Terry, where they talk about how they rearrange geometries, how they work and repair things that are dysfunctioning, and how we can access them by the image was riding the bicycle and start pedaling, and through our pedaling, we access higher dimensions. And, of course, everyone wants to know, so how do I pedal like that to do that? So I'm going to turn it over to our sources. I think it's going to be Ra'an through Daphne, and have them share whatever and however they'd like to discourse on this topic. Thank you.
Greetings. We come to you from the love light vibration of the one infinite creator. This is the Council of An. It is our deepest pleasure and responsibility to give forth counsel at this time, read those pertinent questions which have been posited by the facilitator of this group. it is in our consciousness that we are benefiting your understanding at this time by explaining the particulars and the parameters of the constructs as regarding those sacred mathematical geometries which interlace the various mind, body, spirit complexes throughout the densities, throughout the differentiated structures, and move the articulation of harmonics from one level to another. You exist as multifaceted beings, simultaneously outside and inside of the time-space continuum. You are focused, however, in a conscious manner, only on a small, particularized experience or locus of your imagination. This gives you the appearance and a limitation of only being able to access a very minute portion of your all that is, all that I am structure, and gives you also a false idea of your limitations as a human. You initiated a series of questions regarding the mathematical downloading and translation of the geometries to enable discourse from one level of self to another level of self. Would you like to continue in this line of questioning?
Yes.
Please continue.
So to ask a question, we as humans are connected to a bunch of interlocking geometries that are the precursor to our physical embodiment. And most of us, all of us, to some extent, are compressed by those geometries. And I would postulate that the people that are listening to this call, that are coming back regularly, are desiring to have some kind of uncompression of their matrix so they can access their fullness as a galactic being in this realm as opposed to a contracted human thinking they're in their...
Please move your microphone away from your mouth. It's very difficult to hear.
Okay, is that better?
Yes.
Did you understand so far?
No. Please repeat your last two sentences.
That I would postulate that a human who is listening to this call is intrigued with the idea that they can expand from their limited Earth consciousness to be more effective in this realm as accessing their galactic potentials, and that the Elohim group, we're talking to the Elohim group now, has the ability to assist people who would like that as long as they are service to others, as long as they have pure intent. Because having that kind of expansion without pure intent could just turn a person into a more powerful negative being. So I would like a deeper understanding of how a person can start that process of galactic expansion from a service to others perspective.
Willingness is key. Willingness is key, and focus is essential. The best way to start on this path is to simply set aside a small amount of time, say 5 or 10 minutes, in which one quiets the mind and the body and asks for guidance and asks for those higher sources. This can also be in the form of asking for one's guidance, one's angel, one's protector, one's personal representatives on the path of self-realization or moving towards God. One asks for this. One must ask because, according to the law of free will, the higher celestial agents cannot impose their will on the third density human. So asking is key. Repetition is key. It is better to sit quietly for 5 or 10 minutes once or twice per day for many days in succession than sitting for half an hour or an hour one day and then giving up on the process to go back to it at a later time. Focus, tenacity, and a manner of feeling open in the body, visualization of an openness of mind, body, spirit. Preferably, if possible, do this in a space which is somehow influenced by nature and natural forces. If one is near an ocean or a lake, forest, a mountain, these are natural attractors. Nature is the most powerful natural attractor of the God / universal creative force. It exists in abundance in places of nature untouched by humanity. These act as receptors or antennas. Attention should be focused on the breath. The intake of the breath and the outflow of the breath are the natural exchange mechanism that the body, mind, spirit complex exchanges with the I am, all that is, God Source Creator. As one becomes aware of breath moving into the physicalized body, vehicle, vessel, one can get intuitively a sense of the creative cycle, the beginning of the infinite cycle of perpetuity, moving as an ocean, as the tides. Always in and out, in a very even flow, in a very calm flow, in a very centered flow. The objective is to move into a still point, a zero point. I'm called the omega point of oneness, where one's thoughts are not centered on the future or on the past, on fears, on anxieties, on what one would have or wouldn't have. In essence, one must learn to empty one's mind, to quiet one's mind, still one's mind. When you think of your brain function, it's very akin to a radio transmitter receiver. You need to turn radio off. Once the radio is turned off, the still small voice of the divine consciousness can be heard from the center of the being. The external sources, senses, the hearing, the sight, the touch, the taste, and the smell must be turned much, much down.
Could you move the microphone a little further from your mouth, please? It's a little bit distorted. Thank you.
This would be the beginning point of a physical attempt at quieting the mind-body-spirit complex. In order to make better contact, communication with the higher self. Next question.
What is the dynamic between being and action? In other words, you described sitting still and meditating, doing a spiritual exercise, asking for a request to have this connection. And what is the counterpoint of taking actions and steps that might also support that connection?
If we understand your question, you have asked what action can one take in addition to the quieting exercise?
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yes.
The actions which are most beneficial for an individual to take depend entirely upon the personality and circumstances of the individual. Thus, it is best to begin one's day, one's morning, with a few quiet minutes of deliberation, a quiet asking, quiet, centered, inward focus. of dedicating oneself to spirit, to the all that is, to God, giving oneself, one's life forces, one's circumstance, one's trials, one's tribulations, one's challenges, one's gifts. Everything that one receives and that one is, give it as a gift to spirit every morning. Ask actively your angels and guides to be with you throughout the entire day. Seek only to focus on that day. The old adage, one day at a time, is indeed very powerful. Be present fully as you can during the day. Stop several times during the day, even if just for a few moments, and reaffirm your connection to spirit. In this way, you have an ongoing, active affirmation of the quieting exercise we spoke of just previously. Next question.
I think I would just let you close out this topic with whatever you think is most important for us to hear next, and then we'll end this call. We're going longer than usual. And thank you so much for being here through Daphne and communicating with us.
At this time, we would encourage each person who is on a journey unique to him or herself to act in accordance with their own deepest affiliation, with their own deepest resonance of how spirit speaks to them. Learn to trust your innermost connection to Source. Learn what that feels like. Spend time in quiet. Spend time alone, away from distractions, noise, music, family, obligations, work, what have you. It is imperative that one shut out exterior stimuli in order to understand the organic connection with spirit as with your unique soul. This is the crucial step, and the step that is probably the most frustrating for most humans in this overly busy, overly noisy, overly impulsive, especially in the West world, where everyone is almost continuously at the beck and call of external technologies and obligations. As one can learn to hone the signal, which is authentically the signal of higher self, the spiritual self, one can start asking for guidance, and one can start feeling the life flow and essence of higher spirit into the body-mind-spirit complex. One can ask for solutions through dreams, synchronicities, through meetings of the persons who would best help or advise soul on their particular journey. It is merely a matter of practice. This is our message to you. Blessings, blessings. Adonai, Adonai, Ex Christo.
Thank you very much. And, Terry, unless you, Terry, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Would you like them to say anything through you, or do you think that's enough for this evening?
I think that's good.
That's good. Okay. All right. And on that note, great show. Thank you, Daphne, so much for being the portal for that great message, that great counsel. And thank you all who are listening. And remember, on Wednesday night, we do a conference call where you can actually submit questions, and we ask them live. Also, letting you all know that Daphne is very open to doing readings. If anyone wants a reading, right now I don't have the website set up for that, but you can go to terryreading.com and follow the directions. And if you send an email that says, it indicates that you'd like your reading from Daphne, then that will be that way. And when we do a reading, I do what I call an intake conversation, and we try to determine the most important questions, issues that you're dealing with, and then I carry that privately, and I would call Daphne or be with Terry, and we bring in the light, and we include you in the circle, and we ask the questions that we've come up with, and then you get an audio back in your email with that session. And it's a very great opportunity to see yourself as you're seen from these higher beings with their wisdom, their understanding, and even the potentials for their interventions by asking and reading for where you would like that to occur. So, on that note, is there anything you'd like to say from your human side, Daphne, before we close?
Well, thank you very, very much. This was very interesting for me, too. God bless you all.
All right, thank you.